California, it's the King of TV show starring Paul Gowolf, the King of TV. Tonight, it's our Freaks and Geeks class reunion. See who got fat, see who went crazy, see who works in an office, and meet the preachy born-again Christian. And now your host, a guy who likes TV so much, he actually watches According to Jim. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Gowolf, the King of TV!
This is such a great night. I worked very hard to put this show together, and I'm so glad they did. I'm so glad everybody came. I don't watch According to Jim. That is a joke that is
just a joke.
Not funny. Speaking of jokes, is a mean joke is what it is. The Emmys, who watched the Emmys this past week? Yeah. It was a good telecast. I enjoyed it. I was surprised by some of the wins. I thought for sure Gene Smart and Greg Itzen were going to win for 24. I was sad about that. The biggest surprise for me was Monk. Tony Shalhoub once again winning for Monk. What the fuck? What did he do different this year that he didn't do the other years? But I heard the fans are very happy about this, and they're going to celebrate by actually finding out what channel it's on and watching it. So congratulations to Mr. Monk. What else is going on in the world of TV? You guys heard about this. I'm sure Katie Couric, CBS, put out some publicity pictures of Katie Couric. You heard about this? And they doctored the pictures up to make her look 30 pounds. They took like 30 pounds of weight off of her for these pictures. But it's really not that big a deal, because the big deal is how they're trying to give her an ounce of credibility. That is going to be the hard part. Oh, we feel so bad for Katie Couric. You like that one? Thanks. Oh, you're so mean to Katie Couric.
She has so spunky.
You know, Katie Couric could crush me. You know that, right? So you should feel bad for me. Also, how about this? The new season of Survivor, right? We are all psyched to see that. In case maybe one of you doesn't know, they're starting out with four tribes, all of different races. The Asian tribe, the white tribe, the black tribe, and the Hispanic tribe. Yeah, it's good. Clearly they're looking for the master tribe. Is what they're looking for here. They're trying to find... I figure if you're going to go racist, just go all the way, right? Make all the challenges racist. Like the first week, there'll be a math challenge. You know, the Asians will do well. Unfortunately, the week after that, driving challenge. It's going to be rough. It's going to be rough for the Asian team. And then the next challenge is see who can be quietest during a movie. So that's going to be harsh, yeah. But yeah, right? Right? How racist they are? Bad. I can't wait, though. I want to see how long they're going to keep those guests, keep those teams as they are. Because if they keep, the teams, in their different, minorities for too long, like after 3 or 4 weeks, the Hispanic team's going to have like 5 new members, right? Oh, Katie Couric and Hispanics. How dare you? All right. Everybody, say hello to my co-host and my announcer, Jim Bruce, up in the booth.
Hey, everybody.
How you doing, Jim?
Good to see you. Glad you could all make it out.
Now, this is a great show, especially for Jim, because Jim and I have known each other since high school. We've been best friends
way too long.
Since we were juniors in high school. And the first time, Jim was a fucking nerd, man. Full on. 100% NERD. Nerd. He was bad. He had very few friends, and so I befriended him. But here's the deal on Jim. The first time I ever saw him, we were in drama class together, and he was the new kid, and he was wearing dress shoes. Every day in high school, he wore dress shoes.
Here's the backstory: is I bought
dress. All true.
I had my mom buy me dress shoes, first of all, because I thought, oh man, I'll look so cool because I have these sweet dress shoes. But we didn't bother to buy any other shoes, so I also wore them in gym.
In fucking PE, he's wearing dress shoes. That was the greatest. And he had, it was bad enough. He was skinny and fucking, just he was bad posture and
yeah, but at least I was bad with people.
Yeah, so he had that going for him. And I wasn't so much a nerd in high school. I was an ass in high school. Really, I was voted funniest of my senior class.
Well, if we're telling stories, here's a funny story about Paul.
Okay,
his first, he had this girlfriend, and her name was Connie, and she was very pretty. First girlfriend kind of a deal, so of course it's like not a sex relationship, it's like a cute relationship, holding hands, kissing, that kind of thing. Then they break up, and as soon as they break up, that's when she's like, man, I gotta try out cock.
Yeah,
I just gotta see what cock's like. Yeah. And she just goes crazy. And not only does she do that, she's one of the girls who has to tell you about it. Oh man, right. I mean,
remember that girl who always talked about how
and
she
then
to have
they
sex.
Get back together. Paul and her get back together. Oh, guess who's reclaiming her virginity?
Yeah, she decides, I don't want to be that girl anymore.
Then they break up again, and she's like, oh, you know what? I kind of miss cock. And I think they get together one time after that.
Bad. Yeah, my luck with the ladies was not so good. We just had our 20-year high school reunion, and I was tempted to drive back to Arizona just to try one more time to have sex with her.
But, you know, she'd be like, oh, you know what? I want to become a 5-time virgin.
Yeah, I'm really back. But instead, I stayed home and didn't have sex with my wife. Here's a great story about Jim being a nerd. Are you going to do that all show? Is that really all fucking show? Okay, good. Yeah, just to bug me. Here's a great story about Jim. One time we were doing a show, we were doing a live show, and afterwards this girl says, oh, you're really funny. You know who you remind me of? Scott Hamilton. And we're all like, and we do that, we're all like, a good one. And he's like, oh, really? She goes, I hope I'm not insulting. He goes, no, why would I find that insulting? I take that as a compliment. And we're all like, what the fuck? I guess he likes, I don't know, he likes Scott Hamilton. And we didn't really make a big deal out of it, but then later on, because Jim and I used to live together, later on I made some joke about the Scott Hamilton thing, and he's like, yeah, I don't know why she would think that I would be insulted by saying I look like the guy from Star Wars. Why? Luke Skywalker's a good-looking guy. And I was like, I swear to God, I was like, that's fucking Mark Hamill, you ass. She said you look like the bald gay skater. That's who you look like. That's not the dude from Corvette Summer. The fucking bald guy from the Target commercials is who you look like, you asshole. Hey. And it was great because you could see on his face. He was like, oh, he's like got mad.
And
like,
I thanked her, yeah.
And that was great. And he was like, oh, I'm mad now. That was a great
story. Not really so much a high school nerd story, it's just kind of a dick story for you to tell.
That's true. It happened actually just a few years ago.
Hey, so here's a funny story. Remember when your wife got sick of you and kicked you out of the house and you had to live with Micah, since we're telling funny stories? Remember that? Remember you almost got divorced because you were kind of a shitty husband? Yeah, that was a hilarious nerd thing. You know how nerds are crappy husbands and fat and they get divorced? And your kids are kind of like, God, we're relieved.
Now do it. Hey, thank you.
I tell a tale, huh?
Yeah, you do tell a great story. Thanks for bringing that up. One more hand for Jim Bruce, everybody, my announcer.
Thank you, and give it up for Paul, and make sure to check out our podcast.
Don't give it up. Yes, we're taping the show tonight because we're going to put it on my podcast, The Paul Goble Show. If you haven't listened to my podcast, please do. We've done about 15 episodes or so, and we have all kinds of different guests on, and it's always a lot of fun.
iTunes or yakyak.com.
Any of your crazy podcast downloads. But now is the time I want to bring out my guests, all the people you are here to see, the cast of Freaks and Geeks. Let's start with the man who played Neil Schwieber on Freaks and Geeks. You probably saw him on How I Met Your Mother and Club Dread. And, of course, his latest role on Entourage, Sam Levine.
Sammy.
Hey. She's taking a picture of you. She's going to steal your soul.
I can't sit.
Oh, that's right. Ladies are coming. All right. Our next guest played teacher Frank Kalchewski on the show. You might have seen him on Ned's Declassified Guide to School. You might have also seen him on The 40-Year-Old Virgin. Let's give a big round of applause for Mr. Steve Bano.
Steve Bano.
Moving right along, our next guest, you probably remember him as Sam Weir on Freaks and Geeks. You may have also seen him most recently on Fox's Kitchen Confidential, and he also was in Waiting, where he played a waiter, I believe. Let's give it up for the one and only Mr. John Daly! John Daly. And without a doubt, the second most beautiful person on the show tonight. She played, of course, the freak Kim Kelly on Freaks and Geeks. You also remember her from Dawson's Creek. And what was the other thing? Oh, and of course, Love, Inc. from last season on UPN. Give it up for the one and only Busy Fella!
This is a dream come true for me. I'm so glad you all came out to see them. Look at all your fans. They're here for you.
This is literally the amount of people that watch the show, too.
That's pretty much
actually
it.
One more, because I'm here. Kidding.
I told you, don't be freaked
out. Oh, right.
So, I think the question that is on all of our minds, when is the show coming back? when are they making new episodes? This fall,
yes.
New episodes of the show.
Mm-hmm. It's a whole. It's the new class.
Oh, like Saved by the Bell.
Exactly.
New class. That's fucking sweet. Now I have my own theory on why the show was canceled, and I'm sure a lot of people have theories. Do you guys have any? I mean, aside from the fact, you know, people weren't watching, obviously. But what? I mean, it was a great show, and there's no argument
well,
about that.
Truthfully, it was a really weird time at the network, and people ended up, you know. There was a shakeup and people, new presidents came in. But when we were picked up, we were given, like, there's no argument, the shittiest time slot
True.
Of all time. Like it was Saturday nights at 8. Yeah. Like, it was the worst. None of my friends would watch the show. And it was, like, the most exciting thing that had ever happened to anyone that they knew, that I was going to be on TV.
Right.
And they're like, well, sorry, we got to go out. Like, yeah. So no one watched the show. It was before TiVo, so no one was TiVoing the show. And you really had to be, like, motivated to set your VCR.
Yes.
Then we were preempted for baseball. Then we were preempted for Thanksgiving. They played a movie, I believe.
Home Alone.
And which got higher ratings than we did.
So Satan's School for Girls got higher ratings.
And then they took us off the air and decided to relaunch us on Monday nights. And it was just, like, the worst. It was too late. It was terrible. They wouldn't air Kim Kelly as my friend because it was too controversial.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's never even aired.
Yeah, which was so stupid. Anyway, I don't know.
And then the thing that bugged me about that is, after that, there are episodes that didn't make sense because the whole setup.
Because we built our friendship.
Yeah, the whole relationship
that
between you and Linda, and then in that one episode you become friends. So then after that, you're friends. We were like, "What? I thought they hated each other." But they couldn't show it because they couldn't be shown out of order.
Well, and what's so pathetic now is that if you look at the state of television, there's literally, like, people puking in vaginas, and, like, they wouldn't show Kim Kelly as the friend.
What channel is that on?
Comedy Central. Comedy Central.
That's when they cancel Beat the Geeks. That's what they do.
Yes, that's right.
You brought up something I wanted to say. For a lot of you, that was probably your first big break. I would imagine, you know, you were all relatively unknowns.
I was pretty known.
At the time.
John had been touring in the touring show of Tommy.
Oh, yeah? Who did he play?
The pedal roll.
Tommy.
He played 10-year-old
Tommy. So I started off
big.
Kind of
it's
as
pretty big
deal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So when they got you for the show, it was a big coup.
Oh, yeah. My quote skyrocketed above anyone else's.
Nice,
Which is funny because it's the exact opposite. My quote was the lowest of everyone else on the show.
Really?
I have the lowest quote.
No. Seth Rogen and I were being paid the least.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee it. I guarantee it because Seth Rogen and I were getting paid the same.
I'd like to know that. I'd like to
yeah.
see that.
I guess.
There were
I remember he was
regulars.
A kid, so he didn't really get his money.
Either. Oh, and you didn't?
My parents got my money.
You looked like somebody. I'm sorry, I'm looking at you. You looked like, never mind.
Why are you looking at my desk? Don't fucking look at my desk! Eyes down!
Sorry, now I'm really
embarrassed. But, like, what was that like? Because I'm sure you guys were, like, excited. I'm on ABC. I'm on a great show. you know, I'm on this great show. I'm working with these great people, but not even your friends are watching it. What was that like?
Well,
I mean, obviously it sucked, but
like everything else I've ever done.
No, but the truth is like, well, the only people who'd really worked before were Linda and Franco had done like that one movie, and Jason had done the Can't Hardly Wait movie, right?
Like he was still. Also in the Dead Man on Campus.
Oh, that's right.
With Linda.
DMOC.
DMOC.
Written by Mike White.
Paul, could I ask you to grab the center mic and move it down and closer to you?
Yeah, not so much you.
No, the one that's up front of the stage.
Yeah.
No, it'll be better for the podcast so we can pick everybody up. Thank you.
Okay, everybody's got a sound effect. The wah wah and the everybody. Someone over here go boing, please.
I got one.
All right.
There's my
nice. Excellent, Steve. Now, I want you to tell a story. Obviously, you know, the show, all the fucking critics raved about the show. All the fans. Everybody knows the show was great. But people just weren't watching it. And you have a story to illustrate that point about the girl who said she came to the taping.
Yeah. A girl said, I was with a group of people and somebody said, oh, he's on that show, Freaks and Geeks. And the girl said, oh, no, I love that show. No, I watch it all the time. And this was years after the show had been off the air. I was like, really? You watch it all the time on DVD or on Fox Family? No, on Comedy Central. And I'm just kind of looking at her dumb-faced. And then her friend goes, which one are you? Are you the TV geek or the movie geek? Because she was Freaks and Geeks, not Freaks and Geeks, which she never even heard of.
I mean, like, the show's picked up, aside from the fact that they have the word
geek. Yeah, because the physical similarities between you and Paul.
Right?
Uncanny.
Exactly.
Right? We're pitching a new show where we play twins. It's actually just the TV version of that movie.
It's only going to get picked up by NBC. Because they know comedy.
But probably the worst part for a fan, and I'm a rabid fan, I'm just as rabid as any of the fans, the worst part was all the unfinished plot lines. There was so much great stuff set up on the show, and then none of it was ever paid off, specifically like your dad had the affair.
That's my favorite.
That's a great episode. Yeah. When you finally find the garage door and you whip that thing down in the ground, that's brilliant acting. Huh?
Oh, God.
You know, that's a true story from one of our writers.
It had to be. It's such a great thing. But now, what was going to be? Was there going to be a resolution to that?
There was partial on the show where you saw how I finally tell my mother that the father is cheating.
Okay.
And the whole second season arc was going to be that they go through this really awful divorce. And and it weighs so heavily on Neil that he decides to take up swing choir.
Nice.
That's kind of a creative outlet.
That would have been fucking awesome. Now, what about Sam and Cindy? There would have had to have been some stuff between Sam and Cindy, right?
I think they were pretty much broken up by the end of it. I mean, it's possible that they...
Weren't they going to be on-off?
Actually, if we knew there was going to be a second season, which we knew there wasn't, is why we tied up...
Well, there you go.
Boy broke up with girl. In two episodes, we would have drawn it out into a second season.
Steve, we know about that.
We knew we were being canceled.
Because you penned the episode Smooching and Mooching, which is the one where they finally get together. Penned is fancy talk for written.
I penned it. Wrote it. Final draft 5.0.
And now, and of course, the season finale, where Lindsay and Kim go ahead and follow the dead.
Mm-hmm.
What happened there? What was going to happen there?
Well, I heard that we just came back, and then we just went back to school.
No,
I'm not kidding.
Pretty exciting.
Wow. That's some heavy drama.
Yeah.
Like, and no one would ever know.
Like what exactly happened on the trip? Like, we don't know. Maybe there's... I don't know.
And they come back with track marks.
Track marks. Mike White had told me at one point that the second season he wanted Kim to try out for and star in the school play with Millie. They really wanted to build a relationship between Kim and Millie.
Because you killed your dog.
Because it killed her dog. Right. But it was just an interesting to see me standing next to little Sarah Hagen.
Right,
it was kind
right.
of an interesting
very
dichotomy.
Funny.
So.
Very funny. Any of you guys have unfinished plot lines you'd like to know what the answer was? Because they'll make them up, even if they don't know. Anyone, or did I cover everything? Yes?
I want to know what happened with Tuba Girl.
Oh my god, Tuba Girl.
Yeah, Jessica Campbell. You played Tuba Girl. I don't know.
Nobody got anything for Tuba, Steve?
Well,
I have nothing for Tuba Girl.
Like, were they
going to
stay together, him and her, and Ben?
I hope so.
I don't. They're going to have hot hermaphrodite sex.
There you go. That's what you get for asking. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Would the bus script have been made if there had been a second season?
Oh, that's such a geeky question. Thank you for asking that. The bus script, which he just said, was a script that I wrote throughout the whole season. I wrote it, about 11 drafts of it, and then it got thrown out the window and never made. I kind of doubt it, but thanks for asking. I was really proud of that script.
That is a Freaks and Geeks nerd.
That is a serious Freaks and Geeks fan.
I'm only relatively new to this season. I watched it on DVD about 6 months ago.
Okay.
There was one episode which the three geeks like this one girl and they all ate at a restaurant together. I was just wondering if more was going to be developed with that, like maybe they were going to abandon the
New girl,
psycho first girlfriend and have that be
the whole reason that episode was even written was we referred to that before it had a title, we referred to that as Pilot B. Because that was the one episode that NBC ordered. Most shows get a back nine, we got a back one. NBC said, we'll give you one more chance to air and get a decent rating or we're going to cancel you. Mm-hmm. And that was the episode that was written out of order from the rest to sort of make everyone aware, you know, familiar with all the characters again. And so I guess they were going to bring back the Maureen character, but she was really only created just to sort of illustrate that sort of juxtaposition of the geeks and their friends to everyone else. So I know.
That was a great episode. Yes, sir.
Was James Franco going to become a nerd?
Dungeon Master?
He was a nerd. Didn't you get it? Didn't you get it?
He was a nerd at heart. He really was. That was the whole point. I think that kind of they wrapped it up right there. You can just assume he will be playing D&D with these guys for days to come.
He's just trying to sell us.
Now, as we can see, the fans of the show are hardcore fans, and I even have a clip. You ready with this clip, Jimmy?
Yeah.
I have a clip of a rabid fan actually approaching you guys, and we want to show it right here. So you got to see if you guys remember this. One of your biggest fans.
Oh, no!
I was a sophomore in college. I was just starting out doing stand-up comedy and acting, and Doritos was sponsoring this stand-up comedy contest that came to our school, and a young comedian just starting out by the name of Judd Apatow came and was the host. And it was quite an inspiration to me personally because I used to do this thing with my hands that I thought was very funny, and he took the moment to show me up, and I was wondering if he could share that talent with us tonight.
That is why I write better for the geeks than the freaks.
Wait, what are you doing behind the camera, man?
Yeah, that's my favorite part. Rogan says, what are you doing behind the camera? That was from the Paley Festival, the Museum TV and Radio. Now, my question on that, where is my fucking money? What the fuck?
I give you all the money we got, which is zip.
Oh, man.
That's right. Zip. For the record, we do not see a dime of any of the DVDs that you guys bought. No, it's fine.
He doesn't.
No, so
well, especially the ones I bought, because I got them from a guy on the train.
That was me.
Oh, okay. So he did see some money from it. He did see some money. Now, here's what I want to know is you guys, you're all relatively young when the show started, and you've gone on to some, well, I did say relative. I said relatively.
By the way, what you're talking about, they all just started out when the show started. I was kicking around for about 15 years before the show started. And kind of a cockroach. They keep stepping on me, and I kept coming out.
You kept coming back. But so. you were fucking great on the show. I mean, I'll say this now. I want to say this for later, but everybody on the show is like, some people had some part of their character, some people were just being themselves. I remember when I was doing something with Doug Benson, and we were talking about some show, and he was like, tell me who's in the show, and he's like, Steve Banos. And I'm like, who's Steve Banos? He says, he's the guy he plays called Chess Game, Freaks and Geeks. And I was like, what? How? that's just some old character actor playing that guy, right? That guy can't be a comic. He can't be a cool guy. Because you were the quintessential prick high school teacher that we all knew. You were perfect. And I thought, and I was like, and then I remember, and then we met, and I was like, holy fuck, there's no way this is the same guy.
He was styled after a high school algebra teacher I had named Mr. Turner, who would call anyone who had longer hair a long hair. And he was a redneck. And I saw him throw a kid up against the lockers once after school for having long hair. And
just because he had long hair.
Because he had long hair. And there was legend, and you'd be warned before you even got him, that while he's talking about algebra, he was rubbing his nuts on the corner of his desk. So that's the guy who I based Mr. Kaczewski.
Yeah, he was like borderline abusive. You always thought he was going to take Franco out.
He had a lot of hidden issues.
You were awesome. Now, what I want to know is, most of you have gone on to some great stuff. But I'm still waiting to see which one of you turns into Corey Feldman or Todd Bridges. Which one of you is going to
be... It just can't happen, though, because we didn't have that success. You have to start at a higher level.
To fall, right?
Like, we literally are not the kids from Dawson's Creek or 90210 or any of those shows because no one fucking watched it.
Right, right.
So, you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Maybe Lee Shepherd. I don't know. I'm going to throw that out there.
Okay.
But I'm going to probably turn into Clint Howard in a couple years.
And that's not a bad place to be.
You're a friend of mine.
So
I know him, yeah.
I just saw him in that Worms movie with my kids.
He's rough on the eyes, isn't he?
Oh, man. I was in a movie with Clint Howard, and it was not good.
The camera actually takes ugly off of him, which is kind of
it's known as the Howard effect. Now, when you guys were on the show, you were playing a high school freshman, and you were how old?
I was 17.
17. So you were just a little older than your character. And you were how old?
I was 14.
You were 14. Mm-hmm. Now, is this other clip ready, Jimmy?
No.
Okay, well, Jimmy. Get it ready. Get it ready, please. Now, it's funny to me because I remember at the Paley Festival, they talked about how you were one of the few actual kids on the show, and they were worried that you're going to grow up, and eventually you will be too old to play this part, as opposed to Levine and Martin, who are already old men. And are you ready with this clip? Let me know when you're ready. But do you think that would have happened? Do you think, because you're clearly no longer Sam Weir. I mean, you're barely recognizable as Sam Weir now. But how long do you think that would have happened? You would eventually been like way too tall and too cool.
Well, they were kind of throwing around ideas that my character starts joining, the popular crowd, and then there's that dilemma of still being friends with my geek friends and
forsaking his geek friends.
Yeah, but that would have taken a lot of years for me to physically get there, and that would have been that would have meant that we were all very successful.
Right.
Dude, by the end of Gina, you were at least
a hunk of a man.
And a hunk of a man.
And a hunk of a man. Now, well, let me ask this. Now, for guys, it's not so hard. I mean, we've talked about this before. Sam, you have gone on to be like the go-to nerd in Hollywood. Your Mother, Entourage, that 70s show. When everybody needs a great
That's So
nerd,
Raven.
That's So Raven. And you're great at it.
Thank you.
And you're great at what you do. I don't want to begrudge you that. And for guys, that can work. Now, Busy, you're the only one who could speak to this. For what was it? I mean, obviously, you're in more. You play. You're pretty much done with the high school roles. No more. Yeah, we hope so. But was that hard? Was that hard for you to break into more adult roles?
I'm having a hard time now. At this age, at 27, because this is a weird age. Because early 20s, and you can do college, and there's always things for early 20s, and then there's always things for early 30s. But late 20s is really tough as a woman. I found it to be a little bit...
I mean, do you still get... Like,
I work this, constantly, yeah, that probably. Being said.
Do you still get, like, the scripts where they want you to be the high school chick or the big sister or the drive-thru girl and just bullshit like that?
No. No, I don't. And I don't get college anymore either. Okay. I get, like, right now I'm doing... Like, right now I'm playing a first-year medical student, so... Well,
she's going to be on ER.
I'm going to be on ER. With Linda, who is so sad that she couldn't be here tonight, and she sends her love, but her dog got into some fight, and there's a cone involved, and I don't know, but she's very sad that she's not here, so she sends her love.
That would have been nice if she had brought her dog.
That's what I said.
Bring the dog.
She's obsessed with these dogs, and their brother. I just saw this real fast. Their brother and sister, and the brother knocked the sister up. So now her dog is having like weird like Chihuahua mutant puppies.
Chihuahuas aren't weird enough already.
Today, the pregnant one, like, scratched her brother's eye out, basically, and then she had to go to the vet. Now there's cone and eye drops and the whole thing. But she's, like, obsessed with the Chihuahuas. It's very intense.
I would be, too.
That is a great Hollywood story.
That's our next show.
That is awesome. Yeah, we're going to have the dogs on. That'll be great.
Hollywood dogs. Is that clip ready?
We think so. Yeah.
Okay, this is what I want to illustrate, just to see this clip. I want to...
Oh. Oh my God! Share!
I'm fat. Okay, play this.
Three moms.
Hey, Sam, I've been looking all over for you. Is this your jacket? Yeah, you left inside, so I didn't want to get all dirty. Oh, thanks, Cindy. That was really nice of you. Yeah, well, I'll see you later.
Okay, pause it. Look at this. And look at this. What's the fucking difference? Look at that.
No difference.
And look at this.
Dude, this is so television nerds, because real nerds in high school never looked that good. That's awesome. Well, take it from me.
But you fucking, that's so great. I almost just want to watch this for the rest of the show. But actually, we can't, though, because now it's time for one of my favorite part of the shows. Jim, what's it called?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for the King's Mega Trivia Super Celebrity Face-Off!
Oh, yeah!
Paul, pick two contestants for our fine looking audience.
Come on, you want to play. Come on, bring them out here. Come on up, sir. Jim, explain how the game works.
All right, we're going to get two contestants from the audience. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask a series of trivia questions. The first question will be for our guests. The second question will be for Paul. The two contestants will vote on whether they think Paul or the guest will get the question right. If the guest... God, this is so...
Just fucking spit it out.
Just read it.
Anyway, yeah, there's points. It's fun.
So here's how it works. Jim is going to ask the guests an easy trivia question. Before they answer, you guys have to decide whether they're going to get right or wrong. And you vote, all right? They answer the question. If you have voted correctly, you get 1 point. All right, then Jim's going to ask me a harder question on that same topic. Then again, you vote whether I'm going to get it right or wrong. If you voted correctly for me, you get 2 points because my questions are that much harder. And at the end, the winner goes home with a valuable prize.
With a valuable prize.
What do you mean, what do you get?
What do we get?
I said the winner goes home with a valuable prize.
Isn't this show called Street Smarts? Anyone?
Hey, why you gotta be a dick?
I'm not, I'm just saying.
I've been nothing but cool to you the whole show. All right.
Paul, real quick, could you, one more time, the names of our contestants.
What's your name, sweetheart?
Nicole
and?
Alec.
Nicole and Alec.
By
the way, contestants today. Okay, so Jim will ask you guys a question, but you can confer if you want.
Right.
To help each other out.
Hold and give them a chance to vote on whether
or not
you
don't answer right away. And all the questions are either specified freak, geek, or teacher. So they're broken into three categories. Mm-hmm. All right, Jim, let's go.
This would be a question for the geeks.
geeks.
What was the first name of Screech on Saved by the Bell? Hold.
Okay, you now vote.
Now contestants vote. Will they get it right or wrong? Oh, we've got a split here.
Okay, votes are in.
Samuel Screech Powers.
Wow.
Yeah. That's one point for Nicole. Keep score.
And we've kind of nullified our second question because it was going to be about the last name. Well done.
Damn.
So you know what? We're going to go right to the freaks. All right. These are done in pairs. So here's another one for the freaks.
It's just me.
What a freak.
Who played Leo the Burnout on That 70s Show? Hold.
Okay, vote, right or wrong?
Right or wrong. Ooh, not a lot of faith. Not a lot.
You can ask for help. I know.
Well, I mean,
he was on that 70s show.
I don't know. I want to bust the kids.
They voted wrong. They voted against you.
I know. My point is I don't fucking know.
You can get help.
You know, don't you get it?
You know?
Leo the Burnout.
Was on it.
You guys know that? You played Leo the Burnout?
Yeah.
It's just like my least favorite show of all time. Woo! Sorry.
Okay, no. So you guys both, you get one.
So you're not coming to the reunion?
1 point.
I like all the kids on it. I know them, but I just don't like the show.
Yeah, I don't like the show either, but, you know.
The answer is Leo. Tommy Chong played Leo.
Tommy Chong.
Right, that's right.
That's awesome.
All right, so now
both of you get a point for that one. The follow-up question, this one's for the king.
All right.
And it's that much harder.
That's here.
What's the name of the town where That 70s Show takes place? Hold.
You said right. Nicole voted right. The answer is Point Place, Wisconsin.
Well done, my brother.
So that one you missed.
This one's for the freaks.
Oh, here's a trivia on 70s show. It was originally called The Kids Are All Right.
Yeah. Hence the theme song.
Right.
We're all right.
And if you guys have TVs or DVRs and you can actually see the titles of the names of the episodes, certain seasons are all names from a specific band. Like they did all Led Zeppelin song names and then all Who song names. Just a little side note.
Awesome. Let me totally take it back.
It's not just a role, people.
All right, this one's for the freaks.
Take it to heart.
All right, freaks is a freak question?
Yep.
All right.
Cheech Marin eventually played a cop along with Don Johnson on what CBS drama? Hold. Right or wrong?
Alex says wrong. Nicole says
wrong. Not a lot of faith in Busy.
Wait. I actually think this is the one.
I'll give it to you one more time. Cheech Marin eventually played a cop.
Right, with Don Johnson with the girl with the black hair who he was sleeping with.
Yeah. That's the name of the show.
That's enough.
You guys know?
That's what I said.
It was called.
It was the one.
Ask your classmates.
I know it. And who just said Texas Ranger? Because that's what. Like,
no, it's not Walker Texas Ranger.
If you do not get this, you are totally failing this class.
Mr. Silverstein, help me.
None of you guys?
It's called.
Nash Bridges!
All right.
And oddly enough, Nash Bridges, the show he just had last year, that Just Legal show, co-starred with Jay Baruchel from from Undeclared.
All right, this one's for the king.
All right, hit me.
Last week, Cheech Marin survived the first episode of the great new reality show Celebrity Duets. On that show, he sang two different duets with two different recording artists. Name either of the recording artists. Hold. This one's for the king. Will he get it right? Will he get it wrong? Oh, we got a tie here.
Two rights. I watched the first song with Lucy Lawless and fucking Michael Bolton, and I could not.
Oh, God, that's awesome.
Again.
I want that album.
Okay. I'll go with Peter Frampton.
Well done.
Oh, shit.
Okay, so they both get 2 points.
You know what that show is? It's not the singing that's bad. It's Wayne fucking Brady. He's so fucking annoying on that show. Yeah, Marie Osmond's pretty bad, too. All right, go with the teacher question.
Nicole so far is in the lead by one. This is a...
This is your time to catch up, Alec. Last question. Go.
All right. Well, what the hell? Who's this for?
Yeah, teacher question.
God, teacher!
Yeah, get your shit together.
Question: Howard Hessman played Charlie Hopper Harper on what classroom sitcom? Hold. This is the easy one.
Oh, Alex says right. Nicole says right. What do you say?
Head of the class. Come on. This one is not so easy. This is for the king.
The only way for you to win now is to vote against her and hope that
you're right. Yeah, that's your strategy.
That's pretty much the only way to win. So hit me. Bring it.
I'll have one more after this. Howard Hessman was replaced on the show by Billy Connolly, King.
Yeah.
What's the first and last name of the character Billy Connolly played? Hold. Will the king get this?
What's your vote?
Should the king get this?
Nicole says right. Alex says wrong.
Oh, my goodness.
I know his first name was Billy. And his last name was...
Not.
O'Rourke?
No. It was McGregor.
Billy McGregor of the McGregor clan! Freedom!
It's a tie now. Oh. We're going to do the last round.
Wait, she was one ahead, right?
No, a tie because... My boy here got the question right.
Okay, here we go, the tiebreaker.
All right.
Let's do it.
It's a teacher question. What was the name of Gabe Cotter's wife on Welcome Back, Cotter? Hold.
Wrong.
Vote.
Alex says
vote.
Wrong.
Nobody has faith in you, son.
Nicole says wrong. You guys want to help him out?
I mean, come on.
You're too young.
Yeah. Well.
You want to just throw something out there, Steve?
No, I'm going to have to.
Would you like to hear a joke?
I want to say it starts with an L.
Go ahead.
Lisa?
Sarah.
No.
Lorraine?
Julie.
Julie.
That's what I said. Julie. What the fuck?
Yeah, the way I spell it, it starts with an L, so you were
still
right.
Still tied up. All right, bring me my question.
This is still tied. This is it, King.
Bring it.
This is where we break it.
Yep.
While Gabe Cotter's wife was on every episode of Welcome Back, Cotter, his father appeared in only one episode. What was his name? Gabe Cotter's father.
Wow, that's a
great question.
The character name?
Yes.
Okay.
Hold. Oh, a lot of faith.
Cole says
oh,
wrong.
This is going to do it.
Alex says wrong. I'm going to say Jonah Cotter.
That's a funny answer, but no.
What's the answer?
Charlie.
Charlie Cotter.
Charlie Cotter.
What the fuck? Easy. Alex is our winner.
Alex, congratulations.
Okay.
Wow.
Wait, stay where you are.
Nicole, so sad that you were both safe.
Second place, Nicole, you go home with the now-canceled WP sitcom Twins.
Amazing.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Give her a hand, everybody, Nicole. You fought valiantly. And for Alec, we have for you a collection of now-canceled ABC shows. We have, the pilot for Commander-in-Chief is gone. I got Grey's Anatomy, which should be canceled. Here's a couple episodes of Boston Legal. There you go.
Give him a hand, everybody. Alec.
Congratulations, Alec.
Right. Good job. Good job, Nicole. Alec. I do hate Grey's Anatomy. That's not a joke.
Yeah, I'm with you.
One last thing I wanted to talk about before we move into the last part of the show is all the cool people on the show you guys worked with. I was so jealous watching that show just because not just the cast, but the guest stars, you know, Joe Flaherty, fucking Gruber, Joel Hodgson,
yeah.
Such a great cast of people. That must have been a dream. Yeah, Schwartzman.
Kevin Corrigan,
I guess. Corrigan, yes. He was very funny. What was that? I mean,
Krumholtz.
Yeah.
Krumholtz, awesome, yes. As your brother.
Yeah.
Krumholtz. Keckner. Yes, nobody serves ribs like Dave Keckner. What was that like? Was that just like funny and awesome? It must have been just a great time.
It was. I mean, working with Joe Flaherty, because he was a regular, he was in every episode. Anytime I ever had a scene with him, it was the hardest work I had to do to not start cracking up laughing, because Joe would improv a lot.
Yeah.
And as a young man who'd never worked around actors who improv, to not lose it, you know, with laughter and blow the take is really challenging. And Joe was kind of the king of just making every other actor laugh. Yeah.
And maybe it's just me, but anytime I watched him on the show, every once in a while he would say something a certain way, and I would go, oh, Count Floyd. Yeah. Oh, Floyd Robertson. Oh, absolutely. This guy Caballero. Absolutely. That's fucking guy Caballero. It's so hard not to see that.
On the subject of Joe was not only the sweetest guy, but he knew when we were shooting Freaks and Geeks that this was like the greatest thing he had ever done. And when we got canceled, it really crushed him. He moved back up to Canada. He cashed it in. He really crushed him. So hats off to Joe.
Yeah, he was the shit.
Way to bring the show down. Thanks, Steve. Yeah.
I just want to say that you know, we can sit here now and be like, oh my god, it was the best experience ever, you guys, it was so fucking awesome to see these people work. But at the time, I'd never done anything else, so I thought that was just how TV worked. Like, I just thought that that's how good it was. And then I went to Dawson's Creek. Yeah. And it's really, really...
Gina Davis show.
Yeah.
Right here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the Gina Davis show.
Unemployed.
Unemployed. And, like, it just... It was so hard to make that transition to, like, this is the first thing... The first time I'd ever been on a set was the pilot of Freaks and Geeks. And so, for me, I just thought that's how... It worked, and I thought that your producers fought for the stories, and I thought that they got in fights with the network because they believed that the geeks shouldn't win, and that, you know, Kim Kelly should be a slut, and like, I just thought that that's how it was, and you have these amazing people who want to come on. I had no idea that it's such shit.
Yeah. And then you went on Love, Inc., and you missed the Dawson's Creek days, I bet.
That's not actually entirely true.
Okay.
No, it's
Let's
not.
Talk about that. Now, for those of you who don't know, Shannon Doherty was first cast as the lead on Love, Inc., and she was replaced by Busy. So, how great was that?
I do not want to meet her in a dark alley, let me tell you.
She's
I may
crazy.
Have played tough on Freaks and Geeks. I am not.
I'm scared of Shannon Doherty. I don't want to meet Shannon Doherty. She's fucking crazy.
Yeah, I heard she's nuts. But actually, everyone who was on the show said that she was like, couldn't have been sweeter, and they did such a horrible thing to her because UPN picked up this show and they paraded her out at those upfronts in New York and like made her do all the press. They knew the whole time they were going to fire her. And they like had her do all that. They sold the show based on Shannon Doherty. And then because of that, and I just want to say, I do have principles. I passed on the show like 10 times. Because I was like, I will not be a party to that guy. And then finally, I was like, all right, I need a job. And the guy who created the show is Andy Secunda, who's a UCB guy. And like, and he's awesome and like so smart. And Sean Conroy, who's another UCB guy, wrote on the show. And like, you know, there were times when we tried to have an okay experience. It's just, it's really hard when you're doing a sitcom on network television.
Yes, I have.
And Holly Robinson Pete is awesome. So that's all I have to say about that.
Now, being replaced is not a new thing to some of you, or being completely cut out of things. John, you wanted to tell us all about your great role in the Gwyneth Paltrow film, A View from the Top?
You're welcome.
Thanks, Sam.
No problem, buddy.
Yeah, they, well, first of all, it's a really good movie.
Yeah, man. Fucking Mike Myers has a crazy eye. That's hilarious. Fucking crazy eye, man.
It always gets it.
It gets my $5.
But, they, I guess they didn't think it was good enough at the first draft that they shot. And so they cut the first 30 minutes out of the film, which was what I was in.
Really? Yeah. The whole first half hour?
Yeah.
Nice.
But it really improved.
So, yeah, made the movie better.
I played Gwyneth Paltrow's stepbrother, and I got to grab her butt in a lot of takes.
Oh, well, so...
You know what?
It was
a really great experience. I flew out there. I flew out
flabby?
There for 2 days of work.
She was skinny, flabby? But flabby.
It was.
I know.
It was before Apple, though.
Yeah,
I know, she's always been really skinny, but it doesn't look like there's any muscle tone.
Yeah.
Which is frightening when you see skinny fat people.
That's true.
I'm not making a judgment, I'm just saying.
She's just saying, people.
I am muscular.
I'm still aroused in her defense when I did it.
Okay, so 1 point for Gwyneth. She made you get a semi.
Yeah,
so,
and there's this really distorted director.
I can't fucking believe I just said that.
No, I had a semi.
Not since high school.
I had a little 15-year-old semi.
Now, one thing that me and Sam, and if you haven't guessed, Sam and I have known each other for a long time, and we enjoy, and I gotta say, Sam is not just a guest on the show, he was instrumental in getting these guys and helping me get people, so I want to give him a special
thank you.
But, Sam and I met a long, long time ago, back when he was writing on Strip Poker.
Oh,
and my friend Graham was the host of that. And then we did a movie together, which, oddly enough, people I had one line in it, and people recognize that all the time. They even tell him how great my one line was.
That they do.
Does anybody remember my one line in that movie?
No.
not another teen movie.
Different audience.
Yeah, I guess
different
so.
Audience. They more like the quality high project. Yeah.
My boyfriend loves that movie.
Quality.
Your boyfriend does?
My boyfriend loves
that
movie.
What was my line? I just jerked off in your French toast. That was my great line. And I say, and normally people go, oh! But I'm glad you didn't.
I heard that every day because when we were roommates.
Every morning. And oddly enough, at night I said it too. All right. Well, I have a surprise for you guys before we wrap it up. You may be wondering why there's an extra chair. I talked to Paul Feig about the show, and he couldn't make it tonight. But he gave me the number of a guy that he knew in high school. And it was a dude that he based a lot of these stories on when he was coming up with the show. And I was able to get him here tonight. And I want you guys, this is a surprise. They didn't know this was going to happen. Let's have a big round of applause, everybody, for Charles Nelson Ericks. Let's give it up for Charles. Yeah. Charles, go. Have a seat right there next to John. Hi. Have a seat. Excellent. Welcome, Charles. Welcome to the show.
Okay.
Okay. Now,
is Charles a freak or a geek? I'm not clear on that.
What? He's Eli.
Who is Eli?
Now, Charles, you've never seen Freaks and Geeks.
No, I don't watch television.
Okay. You don't watch any television.
No, I don't like to watch TV. If I want to see people, I can see them all the time. They're always around.
Right.
Why would I want to see fake people?
Sure. And do you have a problem that any of these...
No, I don't have a problem.
Do you have a problem that any of these like stories were based on your life growing up and that, you know, it's kind of like you kind of ripped off your childhood, I guess?
Well, I... First of all, how could I mind if I've never seen it?
Sure, sure.
But, you know, I remember Paul. I do some things that might rip off his childhood too.
Oh, you have some things you're working on.
Well, yes, I'm writing a number of papers, some stories. I write a lot of stories.
Stories?
Yes.
Okay. Are these, what, short stories, or...?
Well, some of them are short, or some of them are medium to long.
Okay. Why do you keep touching your neck like...
I don't know!
Weirds me out.
Well, I just get nervous.
Okay. Well, you know what? I have the show on DVD, and maybe I can loan it to you guys. I can loan it to you, and you can get to know these guys and relive some of those great stories.
I don't think other people that I want to get to know.
Okay. You're probably...
If I don't want to get to know them, why do I have to get to know them?
You're probably very picky about the friends.
I only like to meet people that I meet naturally.
Right. As opposed to this, which could not be more unnatural. Everybody, Nelson, Eric, Charles, or whatever I say. Now, every show, I have my guests sign something that I can sell on eBay later on. So, I have the yearbook box set of Freaks and Geeks, and what better to sign than this? So, we'll start with you, Steven. And while we're doing that, let's talk about what's going on next. John, what do you got coming up?
I'm doing a horror movie for Lionsgate that has too embarrassing a title to name.
Oh, well, you gotta say it now. What does it rhyme with?
Cocksucker.
Well, that's pretty embarrassing.
It rhymes with cocksucker.
It rhymes with cocksucker. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll look for that. Speaking of horror movies, you're in one now, right, that we can see?
Yeah, go catch it quick, because... You got days.
Now, I've seen the trailers for Pulse. Are you sure you're in that movie?
I just recorded the audio commentary for the DVD this afternoon. I am barely in it.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
You can catch me if you open your eyes real wide.
Tell them how many other cast members are in the commentary.
I was the only cast member who showed up to the commentary.
I'm not alone in there. It's like me and the producers, but apparently they invited every other actor and they were all too busy.
Nice.
What can I say? No love of the art. Love of the art.
So what, Kristen Bell, what's she doing? She has everything going on, does she?
No, she doesn't work at all except nonstop. Ooh, I'm on Veronica Mars a few episodes this season. Starts. Thank you. October 10th is my first one.
Are you playing a nerd?
No, you probably, yeah, kind of. Kind of.
And busy, of course, you're going to be on ER starting in the new season?
Yes. I play a first-year resident, born-again Christian doctor. It's awesome. And I did an Entourage as well. I'm exclusively working with people that were on Freaks and Geeks. And just shows that they have gone on to, that's what I'm going to do. And, like, trying to work in Spider-Man. I'm trying to get in
shirt.
There.
Shirt.
And How I Met Your Mother. Want to get a job on there.
Sure. You can get a job standing around.
Yeah.
Because he was so great at that.
Yeah, standing around. So, I'm excited about ER, though. It's very fun.
And Steve? You're still on Ned's, right?
Yeah, Ned's is wrapped, but they're still showing the whole third season. But
he
plays
Mr. Comb-over on Ned's. My kids watch that show, and it's one of the few decent shows I can watch with my kids.
It's my little secret that just got out because
it's a pretty good show.
I have a beard that combs over the top of my head.
He's very funny. He's very funny.
I speak in a very fake, strange, weird accent, and it's.
They
paid me in shiny buttons.
Like, Fred Stoller was on that one episode.
Fred Stoller, believe it or not, Gruber shows up quite a bit on Ned's as a Dungeons and Dragons teacher.
Sweet. And of course, Jim J. Bullock on every episode.
Jim J. Bullock?
Yes. Who doesn't love some Jim J. Bullock?
Jim J. stepped down to do Broadway.
That was a crime against, Broadway, I guess.
And Help Me Help You. Help Me Help You with Ted Danson.
You're going to be on the new season to Help Me Help You. Great. Okay. That is awesome.
What about Charles Nelson?
I'm only to be signing the mark.
No, we're not going to have you sign it, Eric. It's only for people who are on the show.
At least I wasn't that. I'm happy about that.
Yeah, and as are we. How about a round of applause for all my guests, everybody? Steve Bannon, Fizzy Phillips, Sam Levine, John Daly,
and this fucking nerd.
Okay, great.
Hey, thanks for coming. Thank you so much. Thanks, Sam. Thank you very much. John, it's a pleasure. Oh, what a night we've had. A night for television and television fans and fans of Freaks and Geeks. This is, I'm so glad you guys came out to see the show. I had a hard time pulling this show together, and I'm just happy that I was able to deliver the people on the posters. And I hope you guys had a good time. I hope it was everything you imagined it would be. You can go home and tell your friends that, I saw the Freaks and Geeks reunion. The great thing is, if there ever is another Freaks and Geeks reunion, I fucking scooped them. I did the first one because I'm the king of fucking TV. And I thank you. And I would like to end tonight's show, as I do every show, with a song. And the song I picked tonight, I think, is probably special to you. If it's you're a Freaks and Geeks fan, I know it's special to you. So, Jimmy, whenever you're ready.
Lady, when you're with me, I'm smiling. Give me all your love. Your hands build me up when I'm sinking. Just touch me and my troubles all fade. From the moment I saw you standing all alone.
I needed. So shy, like a child who has grown. You're my lady of the morning. Love shines in your eyes, sparkling, clear and tender. You're my lady. Thanks a lot for coming, everybody. Listen to the Paul Goble Show, okay? Good night.
Thanks for coming out to the King of TV. Let's give it up one more time for Paul Goble and all of his guests. I am, of course, your announcer, Jim Bruce. Good night, everybody.